Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Mi'ilah Daf Tes Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin at the top of Daf Tes Vav, the beginning of the fourth perek of Maseches Me'ilah. Before we begin the Mishnah, let's glance at the outside margin where you see a topic heading that we entitle No Say. We have written there, Tziruf Bekotchim, the idea of combining fractional amounts in the realm of kotchim, in the realm of sacrifices. What practical bearing does this have? Well, number one, l'shove pruta b'me'ilah. The violation that we have been studying, the violation of me'ilah, the unjustified personal benefit of holy and sanctified items, is considered a violation and subject to the bringing of a sacrifice of penitence if one violates it to the tune of a shove pruta's worth of value. A pruta is a coin. It's actually a minimum amount, a minimum type quantity, and therefore we're going to discuss the idea of enjoying fractional amounts of kochim if joined up would add to a pruta. And a second area of tziruf, of joining up fractional amounts, l'shi'ur kezayis, a physical quantity, an olive quantity of material of kochim, with regard to the realm of bepigul, nosar, and tomei, three different offenses that we've discussed on numerous occasions, pigul being the sacrifice processed with an incorrect mindset regarding time or place. Nosar is a leftover sacrifice, and Tomei being someone who consumed sacrificial material in a state of ritual impurity. The Mishnah. Koche Mizbeach Mitztarfin Ze Im Ze L'me'ilah. Koche Mizbeach are sacrifices dedicated to the altar. If one benefits from them, from fractional amounts of sacrifices, they will join up to equal a shove pruta's worth to create guilt on the part of the beneficiary, the one who benefited from it. Ulechayev alehem mishum pigul noisar v'tomei. And there is a concept of joining up of fractional quantities to add up to an olive quantity in order to bring guilt upon someone who violated either pigul, noser, or tome. Koche bedek habayis. This is a reference to items dedicated to the temple repair fund. Mitztarfin zeim ze. There is no pigul associated with koche bedek habayis, but there is a me'ilah problem, so that there will be joining up of fractional amounts of items dedicated to the Bedek HaBayis if one derives personal benefit from it to the tune of a pruta. Koche Mizbeach v'koche Bedek HaBayis mitztarfim ze'im ze l'mila. Let us say someone had a pochos mishove pruta amount of pleasure or benefit from koche Mizbeach, from sacrifices, and a pochos, and a less than shove pruta amount of value from something dedicated to the Bedek HaBayis, he will be guilty because they join together to form a full pruta's worth of unjustified pleasure. The Gemara asks, Hashto yesh lomar kodshe mizbeach v'kodshe bedek habayis. We are telling you in halacha number 3 in the Mishnah that two unlike areas, in fact, join up. Now, what makes them unlike? The high kedushas hagufa, high kedushas domim. Kodshei Mizbeach is characterized as something called Kedushas Haguf, having inherent sanctity. The item itself is brought on the altar. Kedushas Berek HaBayis is something that has monetary sanctity. In other words, whatever item someone dedicated to the Berek HaBayis, the temple repair fund would sell off those items, and the money that they get would be used for buying building materials and the like. That is Kedushas Domim. It's a value sanctity. So you have two different types of sanctity, Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domim. And they join up. Afilu Hochi, Kotoni, Mitztarfen, Zeimze. And we are taught that they join up with one another. So Kotche Mizbeach, Im Kotche Mizbeach, Mibayo. Do I have to tell you what is taught in Halacha number one? That different types of Kotche Mizbeach are able to join up, it would seem to be obvious. Once again, if unlikes join up, so two like items certainly would be able to join up to create the necessary amount for guilt. The Gemara answers, Mishum dekotoni Allah, because regarding halacha number one of the Mishnah, There were additional halachas that were taught. L'chayev aleihen mishum pigul, noiser, v'tomei. Three other areas of halacha: pigul, noiser, and tomei. De kotshei berek habayis lo ika hachi. In the realm of kotshei berek habayis, as we pointed out briefly earlier, you don't have these offenses. Mishum hachi ka poligle. Therefore, it is taught as a separate category in the Mishnah. Therefore, category one, dealing with the kotshei mizbeach, and the relevant details are taught separate from the halacha number three. Because in halacha number one, you have these additional factors that don't apply in halacha number three. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a new marking that draws our attention. We glance at the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh heading, the diamonds used in the text, as opposed to the use of them in the numbering scheme earlier. These diamonds represent Shnei. We're reading in the outside margin our Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is the topic heading. Mivneh is a structural note. Here we've combined the two into one notation. And we've written Shnei Shlavim B'divrei Rabbi Yanai, two stages in understanding Rabbi Yanai. She posach v'omar di'ein chayov mishum ilo elo al kotshei berek habayis bilvad. Rabbi Yanai opens up with a seemingly difficult comment to understand, where he says that the offense of Me'ilah applies only to Kotshei Berek HaBayis, to Temple Repair Fund. L'cha'ira, it's super, at first glance, Devorim Elu Temuim are, he's saying something that is very difficult to understand, that's Tamuha, that's arouses amazement. So now we start the Gemara, bearing in mind that what we learn here is called Roman numeral number one, stage one. The final statement of what he really is saying is only found later, three lines from the bottom, where you see a Roman numeral number two, where you see the Elohochi Ko'amri. The squiggle underline is used often in our marking system to denote the transition from one version of whatever to a second version of whatever. So we now continue with the Gemara. Amar Rav Yanai, machvarta. The word machvarta means it would appear. It has to literally do with clarity. In other words, that a statement of clarity, ironically, this statement is really changed, but it would appear, ein chayovin mishum mi'ila elo al kotshei berek habayis bilvad. The Mi'ila violation is experienced only when one derives personal benefit from items dedicated to the temple repair fund, as opposed to sacrifices dedicated to the altar. My time, why would you say that? The Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, Nefesh ki sim'o ma'al mikotshe Hashem. The Pasuk makes reference to Mi'ila, and it says in the Pasuk, mikotshe Hashem. Kodshim hamiyuchodim l'Hashem yesh bohem mila. Those type of sacrifices that are exclusively to the Almighty, as opposed to the Kohanim as well. So those types of sanctities that type of sanctity is exclusively to the Almighty carries with it a Me'ilah violation. Avol Kodshei Mizbeach is behu leKohanim veIs behu leBailim. But with regard to Kodshei Mizbeach, we know that the Kohanim benefit and the owner at times benefits. Therefore, Me'ilah doesn't apply. The Pasuk mentions, as we said, Kodshei Hashem, things exclusively dedicated to the Almighty. And that, we can say, is characteristic by the Kodshei Bedek HaBayis. Tanan. The Gemara is going to raise a series of questions, and you can see that we use a series marking. In this case, we'll be using a trapezoid shape, we call the volcano shape, around the points at which each question begins. And you will notice that the Gemara will be answering the same answer for each one of these questions. So we begin with the series. We've dashed, underlined Mizbeach and the word Me'ilah. So you see that the concept of Me'ilah applies to Kodshei Mizbeach as well. So the Gemara answers Midorabonan. That is true, but only on a rabbinic level. Rabbi Yanai was speaking about on a Torah, on a Doraisa level, a Torah level. And on a purely Torah level, only Kodshei Bedek HaBayis has Me'ilah. Kodshei Kodshim Sheshachton Badoram Mo'alin Bohem. Well, here you have a source that speaks about sacrifices. In this case, high-level sacrifices that are slaughtered, slaughtered in the southern part of the temple courtyard, which is not the right place for them to be slaughtered, carry with it a Me'ilah penalty. In other words, the incorrect processing of the Kodshei Kodshim doesn't enable Me'ilah to be removed, removed from that realm. What do we see? We see for our purposes that there is Me'ilah by Kodshei Mizbeach. The Gemara answers, Midorabonan. Once again, that's a rabbinic Me'ilah. And Rav Yanai was saying something on a Torah level, on a Doraisa level. Tanan, the Gemara asks, Hanene min hachatos, one who benefits on a personal level from a a sin offering. Kishichaya, when the animal is alive, lo mo'al achiv gom. Mila is not violated unless he diminishes or causes depreciation in the value of the animal. Kishimesa, if he derives hano from the chatos after it's dead, kevon shenene kolshehu mo'al. Any benefit from it, even if it's not a matter of causing depreciation, will result in mi'ilah. For our purposes, once again, the emphasis is on the fact that we're talking about kodshei mizbeach, and you see a reference to mi'ilah. The Gemara answers, Midorabonan. Once again, this reference to Me'ilah is only of a rabbinic nature, and hence no question on Rav Yanai, who was speaking on a Doraisa level. The Gemara asks, Umidoraisa lo, v'hotanya. Are you trying to tell me on a Doraisa level there is no Me'ilah on the Kodshei Mizbeach? V'hotanya. We have a source, Rebbe Omer, Kol Chelev Lashem. L'rabos emure kochim kalim l'me'ila. Here we have a posuk referring to the innards of low-level sanctity korbonos. Once again, kochim is be'ach, and there is me'ila. And there's a posuk that is drawing this conclusion. The Gemara answers, midorabonan. Well, this is really a rabbinic offense. If one benefits from the emurim of kodshim kalim, question v'ha'kro konosiv law, but a posuk was cited. The Gemara answers asmachto be'alma. The reference here in the source to a posuk is the use of a pasuk by the rabbis to simply use it as a reference point to what they invented. In other words, it's a reference point, but it's not an actual source. But Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Kachim Shemesu Yotsu Midei Meila Devar Torah. Something that's sanctified, that died, leaves the realm of Me'ila on a Torah level. And the expression on a Torah level leaves room to say that, well, on a rabbinic level there would be Me'ila. B'mai, what kind of kochim is he speaking about? In lema b'koche berek habayis, if you're talking about things dedicated to the temple repair fund, afilu ki me tsunami lo ye, even if they died, lo yehe elo de aktish ashpol de berek habayis, a dead animal should be no less significant than someone who dedicated a heap of fertilizer to the temple repair, to the temple repair fund. Mi les ba mi'ila. Does it not have mi'ila in it? It does, of course. There is mi'ila in it. There's no, when it comes to the temple repair fund, there isn't any true significance whether it's alive or dead. We're dealing with an item that has value, and that value has sanctity, and that is enough to warrant mi'ila. Elo li oilam. So the comment made by Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan that kochim shemetsu leave the realm of mi'ila devar Torah is really a reference to koche mizbeach, and we see that koche mizbeach, when alive, do have a mi'ila violation associated with them on a Torah level. This is a challenge then to what the original Rav Yanai statement implied. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Elo li oilom kochi mizbeach nami de oraisa is behu mi'ila." On a Torah level, the kochi mizbeach also carry with them a mi'ila violation. "Elo hochi ko'amri de bei Rav Yanai." The original Rabbi Yanai's statement is to be understood thusly. May hai craw from the posuk of nefesh ki tim oil koche berek habayis shamin mina koche mizbeach lo shamin mina. That posuk deals exclusively with koche berek habayis, and it doesn't refer to koche mizbeach. That is all fine and good with regard to the pasuk itself. However, Kochei Mizbeach has a separate source for their having Mi'ila, and Rashi quotes the pasuk at the very bottom line, V'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkoga v'chulei de'b'chol kodesh ma'ariv. When the pasuk speaks about one is in violation of the consumption of kodesh, and he's in violation, that is, of Mi'ila, any kind of kodesh, including Kochei Mizbeach. So that this last discussion was really an attempt to clarify what did Rav Yanai mean when he said that Kochei Berek Habayis are the only things that have Mi'ila. What it really means, what he really means to say, is that from the Pasuk of Nefesh, Ki Timo Umal Mikochei Hashem, from that Pasuk, all you can derive is Mi'ila by Kochei Berek Habayis. As far as a source for Mi'ila by Kochei Mizbeach, there is Mi'ila on a Torah level, and that's learned from a different pasuk. We now turn to Amud Beis. Continuing in the theme of joining together of Mitztarfin, which, by the way, is something that you will notice is a recurrent theme in the next few Mishnayos. If you were to skim ahead to the upcoming Mishnayos, you will notice that this idea or this concept of mitztarfin continues to appear again and again. In fact, it could be said with a certainty that the entire perek is characterized by this phenomenon of different items joining together. So here we continue at the top of Omid Beis, of Tesvav Omid Beis, the Mishnah. Chamisha dvorim ba'oilo mitstarfim ze im ze. The ola is a korban, and when we speak here about the joining together, the joining together will have ramifications regarding one offense is ma'ale b'chutz. That's the isser of offering up like in an altar fashion, in a burning on a mizbeach on an altar outside the Beis Hamikdash. There are other offenses, and they include pigul, nosar, and tomei, and mi'ila. All of these offenses will be experienced through the joining together of different fractional parts of that which is associated with a korban ola, which we will see very shortly. Rashi goes to lengths to tell us that even though we learned already that by kodshei mizbeach, things that are dedicated to the altar, there is joining of subunits, one with the other, this is necessary. The mission here is necessary to because it includes items that are relevant to an ola that aren't directly the ola itself, as we will see very shortly. So the Mishnah, Chamisha dvarim ba'ola mitstarfim ze im ze, five different ola elements joined together to create the prohibitions or violations, as we mentioned before, of ma'ale b'chutz, pigul, noser, tomei, or me'ila. And what are they? Habosar, the meat, v'hachilev, the chilev, are the forbidden fats found in each animal. The hasoles, the soles is a reference to the flour that is brought as part of the meal offering that accompanies sacrifices. Vayayin, the wine that is part of that minchas nesachim. Vashemen, and the oil that also is part of the minchas nesachim. So that if, let us say, if you're dealing with the isser of ma'ale b'chutz, and that is violated if one offers up on an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash an olive quantity of ola material. What is ola? What is meant by ola material? And here is what the chiddush of our mission is, that even if it's a half olive quantity of meat and a half olive quantity of wine or of flour, which is not a direct part of the animal itself, but yet it's part of an ola sacrifice, insofar as that along with the sacrifice, one has to bring the minchas nesachim, so they join up to create a prohibition of, the in our example, of ma'ale b'chutz. If one were to eat a half olive quantity of ola meat and a half olive quantity of ola flour, he would be in violation of pigul or nosor, tomei, depending on what the nature of that ola offering was. The Mishnah continues, v'shisha v'toda. The toda is the name of a korban toda, and there are six elements. There's an additional element that you'll see here that figures in the joining together to create the offenses that we just enumerated. And what are the six elements by a korban toda? So, habosar, v'hachilev, v'haselis, v'ayayin, v'hashemen, all those five are the same as we saw by the ola, v'halechem. With a korban toda, in addition to the basic animal offering and its accompanying meal offering, the minchas nesachim, there are 40 loaves as well. And the 40 loaves are referred to here by the term halechem. So that if a person, let us say, slaughtered a korban toda with an incorrect mindset, a pigul mindset, and he ate a half quantity of the animal meat and a half olive quantity of one of the loaves, he would be in violation of pigul, of eating pigul of a korban toda. Masni le Rav Huna le Rava, chamisha dvorim ba'olam mitstarfim ze im ze. The source that we see in a frame is in effect something that Rav Huna taught Rava. There's a Gersa that reads this as the Rabba Bray, his son, that Ravuna taught to his son Rabba. And in the source it says that, and it implies that in all possibilities of Tziruf, there are five things that can join one up with the other, and that's it. Only five things in all the realm of sacrifices that can join up. So the son asks back, Omale, Be'olam Ko'amris, are you saying that in all of the different sacrificial realms, there are only five elements that can join up and no more? V'ha'katani betoda, but regarding a korban toda, we see six. Ashisha dvarim shebetoda, habosav achilev, asodos v'yayin v'shemen v'lachmei toda. So what exactly are you teaching me when you say five things and only five can join up in any korban example, when we know that in the toda there are six? Amale, so the father answers, Rav Huna answers, Tani be'ola. Notice with our markings we've emphasized a specific letter. Originally he was taught be'olam, the word with a mem, that word with a mem at the end of it, meaning in all cases. Rather, it should be more accurately taught, five things in the realm of ola join up with one another. And that is confirmed by the text that we have in our Mishnah as well. In other words, this is the accurate way to approach the issue. Five elements of an ola join together. Tanina leha detanu rabbanan. Our Mishnah bears out that which is taught in the following Tanaic source. This is a brisa, and the Gemara is trying to show that our Mishnah would serve as the background or the basis for this brisa, giving credence and reliability to this particular source. It says, Oilois v'emurim mitstarfim l'kezayis, leha'aloison b'chutz ulechayev alehen mishum pigul v'noiser v'tomei. In this source, reference is made to an ola. With regard to an ola and a murim, so there is a joining together to result in a penalty of ma'ale b'chutz. We mentioned that earlier, the offering up outside the Beis HaMikdash, and these other offenses, Pigul Nosur and Tomei. Kotoni, be'oila in, b'shlamim lo. This source seems to emphasize that there is this concept of tziruf by a korban ola, and not by a korban shlamim. It's noteworthy, just to for the sake of repetition, that is what our Mishnah had also taught. It mentions by the Ola there are five elements, that there is tziruf of five different elements when dealing with a Korban Ola. The emphasis on a Korban Ola seems to be by an Ola there is, and not by a Shlamim. At this point, the Gemara starts a question that lasts a number of lines, and it's as follows. Kotani ba'ola in bishlamim lo. Bishlamo lahaloson b'chutz. I understand regarding the isur of ma'ale b'chutz. Oila dekolil he mitstarfin. Shlamim lo mitstarfin. An ola, all of whose parts are treated the same way. They're kolil. Kol means completely burnt. I understand that there's tziruf, that there could be a joining up of the meat and the innards when they all have the same destiny, and that is to be burnt. Elo lechayev alein mishum pigul noisar v'tome. Regarding these other offenses that aren't related to the actual burning per se, as was the case with ma'ale b'chutz, but these other offenses, which are basically eating-related offenses. Shlomim amai loy mechayev. why in the realm of a Korban Shlomim would there be no offense if a person, let us say, ate a half olive quantity of Shlomim meat and a half olive quantity of Shlomim Emurim, of Shlomim innards? The Hotnan, we have a Tanaic source that says, Kol hapigulim mitstarfim ze im ze, v'chol hanosoros mitstarfos zu im zu. When it comes to pigul, all the different elements of whatever kind of sacrifice you're talking about will join up. And when it comes to nosor as well, nosor, the prohibition of eating that which has been left beyond its time, all of the elements that constitute the korban, whether it be the meat, the innards, and the other elements, they will join up to create a nosor prohibition. That's the end of our long question. Just to review, in the source that the Gemara introduced, it said by, in the realm of the Ola, you have the meat and the Emurim joining up to cause a series of different offenses, Mala Bechutz, Pigul, Nosor, and Tomei. We are saying that as far as the emphasis on a Korban Ola and the joining together of the meat and the Emurim, that I can understand is exclusive to the Ola when it comes to the prohibition of Ma'aleh Bachutz, which has to do with burning, where only only by an Ola is the meat and the Emurim burnt, as opposed to the Korban Shlomim, where only the Emurim are to be burnt and not the meat. Therefore, if one, let's say, were to burn Shlomim meat outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be in violation of Ma'aleh Bechutz, because the violation of Ma'aleh Bechutz is offering up outside that which you should have offered up inside. But the meat of a Korban Shlomim is not to be offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash to begin with. Therefore, I understand that the Shlomim meat and the Shlomim Murim would not join together because they are of a different nature. But when it comes to the other offenses, Pigul, Nosur, and Tomei, why do you say that only by an Ola does it join together with the Emurim to create a minimum quantity, when let us say, Shlomim meat and Shlomim Emurim should have been able to join up together as well, like this source indicates that by Pigul and Nosur, all the elements join up by all sacrifices? The Gemara answers, Elo Emo, rather say as follows, Ola v'emureha mitstarfim ze im ze likizayis lizorek alein es hadam. If there's a source that teaches something about an Ola and its Emurim joining up, so it is for this purpose, which is actually quite different than that which we had learned before. This is a restatement. We should point out, by the way, just structurally, that in order to appreciate this Gemara, it's a Gemara like you often have a two-stage Gemara till we get to clarity. So that's why we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a Roman numeral number 1, and here we have a Roman numeral number 2. So the more accurate understanding is for this purpose, the idea that exists by an Ola, that the meat and the Emurim will join up to enable or justify the sprinkling of the blood. If you have a sacrifice, and let us say most of the sacrificial material got lost, let us say everything is lost, and you're left with just the blood. The blood is that which you're supposed to sprinkle on the altar, but that's supposing that some of the basic sacrifice is still there. How much of the basic sacrifice must still be there to justify the sprinkling of the blood? So you need to have a minimum amount of an olive quantity. So that the source is telling us that let's Ola meat, let's say you have a half olive quantity of Ola meat and a half olive quantity of Ola innards. They will join up to create a full olive quantity of Ola material to justify the sprinkling of the blood. Now, that having been said, it would then follow that as a result of that, since it's justifiable to sprinkle the blood, it would also be prohibited to offer up on the outside the Beis HaMikdash a half quantity of Ola meat and a half olive quantity of Ola Emurim. The Gemara goes on to say, Uman Kotoni Lo, who would be the author of this idea that the Ola and its Emurim join up to justify the sprinkling of the blood, because you now have the minimum required quantity. Rabbi Yeshua, this conforms to Rabbi Yeshua, and we have a Tanaic source that features Rabbi Yeshua's teaching. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, Kol HaZvachim Shebetorah, all the zvachim, all sacrifices in the Torah, Shnishtayim Mehem Kezayas Basar, that there remains after, let's say, as we said before, a lot of it got lost, but there remains an olive quantity of meat, Oy Kezayas Chelev, or a Kezayas of Chalif. Now, the meat of most sacrifices, as opposed to an Ola, is something to be eaten. When can one eat of a korban? Once there is the sprinkling of the blood. So the sprinkling of blood is intertwined with the ability to come to eat. The minimum quantity that constitutes eating is also an olive quantity. That is what we refer to in general as a shi'ur achila. So when it comes to korbanos that got lost, but something of the original sacrifice remains, so we are taught by Rabbi Yeshua that if an olive quantity of meat remains, oi kezayas chelev, or a kezayas of chelev is that part of the korban that is offered up on the fire, in addition to the sprinkling having significance to allow the eating, the sprinkling also enables the korban to be offered up on the fire. What part of the korban is offered up? So in the case of most sacrifices, you're dealing with the innards as represented by the chelev. So if you have a chelev, which is that part of the korban that is put in the fire, and you have an olive quantity of a korban that got lost, and that's all that remains, zorek es hadam. That justifies the sprinkling of the blood. Kechatzi zayas basu, kechatzi zayas chelev. Let's say all you have left is a half olive quantity of meat and a half olive quantity of chelev. Eino zorek es adam. That will not be enough to justify the sprinkling of the blood. Uba oila. However, with regard to a korban ola, afilu kechatzi zayas basu, kechatzi zayas chelev, zorek es adam, bipnei shekulo kolil. If all you have left is a half olive quantity of meat plus a half olive quantity of chelev, they will join up to justify the sprinkling of the blood. And why is that? Because the meat and the chelev are treated the same way. Kulo kolo, completely burnt. Uva mincha, afilu kulo kayemes lo yizrok. Now this last statement is one cannot understand as it is. First translating it, it's a meal offering. Even if all of a meal offering remains, don't sprinkle the blood. Well, because mincha mai avidite, what's the nature of blood in the context of a meal offering? They're two different things. Meal offerings are made of flour, or they're baked goods, have nothing to do with blood. Omar Rav Papa, minchas nisachim. Rav Papa explains that this last statement is a reference to an animal sacrifice that was slaughtered. You collected the blood, and all of the meat, and all of the chelev, the whole animal section got lost. However, you know what remains? The accompanying meal offering. We made reference to this in today's shiur a bit earlier, that many korbanos have required minochos that accompany them. Those are called minchas nesochim. So Rav Papa tells us that even though something of the korban remains, namely the accompanying meal offering, that is not enough to justify the sprinkling of the blood in the event that all of the meat aspect, the meat and innards, the entire animal aspect of the korban is missing. Before learning the new Mishnah, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Tziruf Shel Dvorim HaNikroim truma, the joining up of different tithes that all carry the name truma, le'isur u'le'ischayev alein choymesh, misha'oichel mehen b'shove pruta. There is a prohibition of a non-Kohen eating truma. One who does eat truma in an unlawful fashion, namely a non-Kohen who eats truma, he's obligated to pay the principal value of that which he ate plus a fifth. That's called keren v'chomesh. So when speaking about one who ate truma, what falls under that heading? And in order to be guilty of this offense of eating truma, so a minimum quantity must be eaten in order for us to speak about the violation and the need to compensate. So our Mishnah says, Hatruma, that's your basic truma tithe, the truma smicer. Truma smicer is a tenth of that which a Levi receives. Each Levi who receives his miser rishon, he takes off a tenth of that and gives it to a Kohen. That's called Trumas Meiser. Trumas Meiser shel demai. This is a required tithing of produce acquired from an ignoramus, an amoretz. Even though we hold that most amoratzim do tithe their produce, a significant minority number do not, and as a result of that, the purchaser has to take off the tithes. And here we're referring to the Trumas Meiser from a Levi whose produce is from an Amoretz. The Hachalo. Chalo is a tithe taken off of dough and given to a Kohen. The Habikurim. These are the first fruits that one has in his fields, and he brings that to the Beis HaMikdash. The Bikurim is brought to the Beis HaMikdash and then presented to a Kohen. So each one of these things is referred to in the Torah by the term Truma. And therefore, Mitztarfim ze im ze le'isur u'lechayev aleihem es ha'chomesh. Each one will join up to create a violation of Truma. Now Rashi has an example, and let's read the Rashi together. V'chalav v'bikurim mitztarfim zem zeh le'isur shim nofal mikulon l'tof iso shechulin v'yesh bo k'dei l'chametz asura. If you have some truma sourdough is something that causes other doughs to rise. So you have a minimum amount of truma and trumas meiser sourdough or challah dough that join together and create the ability of another batter to rise, and only because I have both elements, I have some truma and some bikurim dough or truma and trumas meiser dough that's intensely fermented, they will join up to then cause a prohibition on the chulin dough into which they fell. Prohibition meaning that it would only be mutter for a kohen then to eat from that batter. The other chiyuvim that we make reference to is the tziruv for a shove pruta, a pruta quantity of having wrongfully eaten it to mechayev the non kohen to pay the principal and a fifth. The Mishnah continues, Kol hapigulin mitstarfim ze im ze, v'chol hanosorim mitstarfim ze im ze. We referred to this earlier today, that a sacrifice that was processed with an incorrect mindset, if you have a half kezias of one sacrifice and a half kezias of another sacrifice, both of which were processed with a pigul mindset, they will join together to create a pigul prohibition. And likewise, leftover sacrifices that we call nosar. The Gemara asks, that's a question that we've already incorporated, the answer to which we've incorporated already in our explanation. Gemara asks, my taima, why is there tziruf of chala and bikurim together with truma? Answer, kulu ikru truma. The term truma appears by chala and bikurim as well. Chala is the tithe taken off of dough and presented to a kohen. Gabi chala ksiv. Regarding chala, it says reishis ariso sechem chala torimu truma. So this is a reference to the to one's dough that he prepares, and it says he shall take off. Torimu is to separate a tithe of truma. Bikurim nami ikru truma. Regarding bikurim, the word truma appears. Desanya utrumas yodcha elu bikurim. The word trumas yodcha is taken from a pasuk, and it is understood to be a reference to bikurim. The pasuk in Dvorim perek yud beis. Avol inoch lo tzricha. The inoch means the others. Trumas meiser and trumas shel demai. That it's trumas meiser of demai. That's obvious that they are called truma. That's part of their name. The Mishnah says, and before we learn the Mishnah, we should just note that the explanation of this Mishnah will continue on the next Omid. But in the context of our shir, we'll learn together the Mishnah. Kol hanevelos mitstarfim zu im zu. All nevelos. There is a prohibition of eating animals that haven't been properly slaughtered. So if you have and the minimum amount that results in the violation of eating the velo is an olive quantity. So the Mishnah is telling us that partial chatzizayas of one nevela and a chatzizayas of another nevela will join together. At this point, it sounds like the Mishnah is telling us, when it says all nevelos, it will include even the carcass of an unkosher variety animal and a half olive quantity of what we call nevelas behemot tameah will join up with a half olive quantity of a nevelas behemot torah, of a dead kosher variety animal. That information is necessary in order to appreciate the coming Gemara. So in the meantime, the Mishnah tells us that all nevelos join with one another. V'chol hashrotzim mitstarfim ze im ze. Shrotzim are creatures that are forbidden to eat in the Torah. They are generally associated with those kind of creatures that are short-legged, who live because of their short-leggedness close to the ground. So they are all forbidden to eat. And if you have, let's say, a chatzi zayas of mouse meat and a chatzi zayas of snake meat, and one eats that, they will be in violation of achilas shrotzim, because the person consumed a full olive quantity of sheretz material, even though it comes from different shrotzim. This is the idea of shrotzim joining with one another. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.